Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in league, JDB sinks to new lows as he moves from committing crimes on beds to crimes under them.
David Nofaluma shows he's as terrible at being defensive on social media as he is on the field.
Matt Lodge enters New Zealand as the most unpopular Aussie import since Brenton Tarrant.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 17 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 414 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And we are flying duo.
Yes.
This evening for this episode.
We are.
Unfortunately, Glennie has to take the epi offy due to some shit the man's got to do.
That's it. There's there was a special assembly called at the Glennie School. And so unfortunately to him, that's like the fucking bat signal in the sky. So
I thought it was actually like a snap decision was made to hold a fucking Toowoomba District Carnival, and there were several of the next future number sevens for the Brisbane Broncos showing up, and he just couldn't pass up an opportunity. to run his eye over the next generation of number sevens for the Brisbane Broncos.
Do you think it's actually seeing the talent, or is it standing around with the other dads going, it's a clear difference in skill there, isn't there? Like just having those conversations?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, you know Glenn, like I know Glenn, and you know that he would be all about those conversations.
Loves a dad chat.
Can kill a dad chat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what the post episode chat is, or pre episode chat. Literally every fucking week. I mean, there is a solid portion of dad chat, and
I thoroughly enjoy his insight on the import-export trade and international relations.
Oh, yeah, that's usually our pre-episode chat is, dealing with overseas suppliers and their ability or lack thereof to understand orders and follow directions and invoices.
Yes, correct.
I do enjoy those because that's where you get a different side of Glennie.
So let us get through and have a totally unbiased episode where the West Tigers feature in the news.
Yes, and we don't have to listen to the old sugarcoater papering over the cracks at the Tigers yet again. But before we get to that, I'd just like to say also, I just want to give a special shout out to my biggest fan, and may you have a speedy recovery, and on to oh my god, these motherfuckers are painwalling me out of this story. Can you fucking believe this shit? the first story I want to talk about, and this happened in time for us to talk about, just briefly. It had just happened on Sunday. I think the first I heard of it was perhaps on the Sunday morning footy show, and it was kind of as that show was rolling, each ad break would go on, and I would have new information about the story and everything like that, and it of course is the party at Vornie's, which
weekend at Vornie's,
just unbelievable. I mean, the Dragons pulled off an epic golden point win that it was a game they shouldn't have won, and what better way to celebrate than go back to Vornie's and fucking smash some cans.
Yes.
In the middle of a COVID lockdown.
Yes.
So what has happened, of course? Well, it was a huge... This was a huge fuck round. I mean, as the story's dribbling out, there's a party at Paul Vaughan's house down there, and there were all these stories come out that, you know, Corey Norman had, you know, he was there, as evidenced by the fact he'd left his wallet on the barbecue and then taken the runner when the cops turned up to this party because a neighbour, yeah, well, it's like, where do you fucking start on this story chronologically? Because you had... The initial story was that, you know, there was a party and there was a number of Dragons players, like a dozen Dragons players at this party in breach of the they were in breach of the COVID laws as well as the current biosecurity protocols governing yes. NRL teams, where they can basically they can do shopping and training, right?
Yeah,
and other than that, it's just sort of like home and those things. So, so they're in violation of both of those things. And then it was like, okay, who, you know, which were the players there? Corey Norman was apparently there, as evidenced by the fact while he wasn't there physically at the time when the police turned up, his wallet was there. And then apparently his cars are parked out the front with extremely recognizable personalized plates.
SM00VE.
I was like, yeah, clungy. And like the IE is like a 13. But then you had the level of cover up that they had as well, where it took a while and it took a lot of questioning for the police and the club itself to get to the bottom of the situation about who was actually there. Mm. Yeah, and yeah, what sort of involvement? I mean, the wash up of it is, though, is that the players in question were fined various amounts of money based on past indiscretions, the salary that they're on at the club, and I think the truthfulness that they displayed under initial questioning.
Yep.
And then suspensions as well. All the players got a week. Paul Vaughan got himself 8 weeks, being the ringleader of the whole thing and the party being, you know, taking place at his house. He was also fined the most amount of money. And then since then, he had his contract torn up because this guy is a habitual line stepper. Since he moved to the Dragons. I mean, we spoke about this on Sunday. Or Monday, whenever it was, and we're just like, look, this is a guy. Like he was a front rower that had a step and just had a knack of scoring tries when he was at the Raiders, and not scoring like non-front rowerish tries. Moves to the Dragons, and then they come out and they say, look, we had a sexting thing. That was his first strike. Then we had his COVID protocol breach last season. That was his second strike, and now he's got this one, third strike. He's gone.
That's it.
And he has really cemented himself in what is an extremely strong field as potentially one of the most brainless players in the history of the game.
Look, I don't want to, you know, make it to diminish the severity of what he's doing.
No.
Because, and I've heard a bit of it going on that, and it was the same with Nathan Cleary last year. You know, what's he actually done? When it comes down to it, all he's actually done is have some mates around. He's just had some mates around, and they've just had a barbecue and some beers after they've won a game of footy.
Yeah,
you can't tell a man he can't do that. Now, that's true, you know, you can't tell a man he can't do that. But at the moment, there's a fucking thing going around that kills cunts if they breathe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already gotten into an aged care facility.
Yep.
Who knows where all of these players' wives, girlfriends, partners work and how quickly that connection gets something out into the community or back to them or shuts the season down. One side of the coin is that the NRL relies on games going through to fulfill its contract to the broadcasters. And so that could potentially cost the NRL a great deal of money, which would be a terrible shame and would sadden me and cost jobs for lots of other people. Then there's the other side of things, that the rest of the fucking city, the largest city in Australia and its surrounding areas, are all for the most part doing the right thing.
Yep.
And lots of people are foregoing employment, especially casual workers and people like that. Small business owners are getting mm-hmm. absolutely fucking smashed
mm-hmm.
trying to keep staff on. You know, that's the issue here. And I think it goes back to what I was talking about on Sunday. If you went and ran testing on not only first grade footballers, but pro athletes in a lot of places, there would be a potentially shocking number of them that have issues with the regulation of impulses.
Yes.
Which is essentially what this is. Then you look at the aftermath, the cops turn up. You know, you just describing what happened. The last time I saw something like that was when the police turned up to a house party when I was about 15.
Yeah.
So if the police turn up to a house party that you're at, then you sit there and you let the police talk about what they want to talk about, and then you comply with the directions you're given. Yes. And you might cop a fine if you're doing something wrong. As an adult, you go, oh, yep, okay, probably had that coming, and you move on.
Yep.
But to do the bolt and jump fences and run through other people's yards, that, fuck me, that's teenage mentality.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then there were, and you'll hear more about this on the member side this evening, this week's member side for patrons, because I have received an email from one of our Popo liaisons, and
can't wait.
It's fucking crazy the amount of like bullshit that they tried to pull over the coppers to get out of this. Like, for example, one of the publicized ones is JDB saying that, yeah, his car was parked there, and his missus said, yeah, he was there, but he wasn't at the party per se. He drove his car over there to then take the dog for a walk. That's one of the more publicized ones, but let's just say there were more than one player who had just stopped in at Vornie's to take a shit.
Jesus Christ.
Because they were caught out and he was closest to where they were at the time. It's just like, and like, it's just that brain dead footballer mentality that even thinks that you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Because you've got the impulse control, but the thing is with impulse control, impulses are spur of the moment thing.
Yeah.
You're not sitting down thinking about it. If you sat down and thought about it, then you're just a fucking dumb cunt. And you've made a conscious decision to be dumb, to do something dumb.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like, fucking hell. So, as we mentioned, Paul Vaughan, of course, his contract has been, he was contracted until the end of next season, but his contract's been torn up. That was the third strike as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
But
again, you know what fucks me off about that?
What's that?
Already there's now the talk about where will he end up.
Yeah, the Tigers, obviously.
Well, you know, poverty club.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, to me it just seems like a no-brainer.
Mm.
That, you know, he'd have a, you know, I mean, he on Saturday night he ran for like, you know, 262 metres or something. Mm. Tigers would kill for that sort of fucking meterage. James Tamau ran for like 15 on Sunday afternoon against the Rabbits.
Yeah, but leadership. He provided leadership. That's what they brought
him. Yeah, right. I mean, he may as well have been the captain from the bench, the old Kurt Gidley meme. there's some mailbag questions that relate specifically to this. So I thought that we'd address the ones that relate to this story now.
Yeah, go for it.
David says, "Well, name a better hiding place for JDB under the bed than under the bed." And yeah, I mean. That fucking guy.
Yeah.
That fucking guy. Liam asked, is JDB getting special treatment from the Dragons board? Why piss him off? Look, I think that you know what we all think we know about JDB and what we feel are the facts of the situation that he was facing with the rape charges and the rest of it and surprise anal and all the rest of it. Like it feels clear from the reported evidence that obviously, well, let's say worst case scenario, he was cheating on his pregnant missus.
Yep.
I mean, and something did happen. The only question that's left is the consent side of things, you know, for legal purposes. Mm. And they didn't find him not guilty. They just couldn't come to a verdict, you know, which is an important distinction. However, be that as it may, legally speaking, the Dragons did stand by him during the no fault stand down situation mm-hmm. for about 2 years. But, and like, while this is not the best wording to use, the fact they couldn't come to a verdict means that he was kind of vindicated, which means that legally speaking, the Dragons were right to back him like they did. And I guess, and it's like he didn't do anything. That's not a black mark. I mean, it's an absolute pain in the dick for them for 2 years, paying out that money for a player that couldn't play. But the fact that he didn't get convicted of the charges means it's kind of like, it's hard for them to have anything actionable out of that, you know what I mean? As a black mark against the player.
But then the other way to look at that is they could have very easily not stood by him and said,
yeah,
we are going to terminate your contract, which they had an option to do.
Yep.
And we're going to get salary cap back from that.
Yep.
And we will then move on and we will buy another forward. Imagine, you know, at that time or in and around that time, you know, Fifita was on the table. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of movement that they would have been able to afford.
Yeah.
I'd say they're within their rights now to look at him and say, hang on, no, we stood through you through all of this.
Yeah, and then you've come and done this.
And this is what you do.
Yeah. I think the Dragons, unfortunately, aren't as intelligent, and they're more like, well, we're fucking India for 2 years. We're India for 2 years now. We got to get something back. We got to get something out of this, you know. So we need to get like a season, or we need to get something out of the, you know, this situation. But it doesn't appear that anything's going to happen.
The interesting thing, like you always heard that Norman was on the chopping block, and it was quite publicly announced that he was told he wasn't wanted next year.
Uh-huh.
So the situation with, like, Vaughan must have been, they must have had a lesser opinion of him than Corey Norman. Because tell me, this isn't the perfect excuse to get rid of Smooth Corey as well.
Yeah, well, these are the names. Like, I mean, Erdem, for example, he said, how the fuck did Norman and JDB survive the axe?
Yeah.
JDB was discussed. Norman, I mean, with JDB, I was just giving what I thought was their internal justification for doing this. Norman, I got fucking nothing. I mean, you've got the petulant fucking bitching from his fashion label that he's part of there, Jesus, with fucking Isaac Johns and the other dickhead. And you've got the fact he wasn't wanted anyway.
Yep.
You've got the fact that, whilst maybe not at the Dragons, but certainly in his NRL career taken as a whole, also a brain-dead habitual line stepper.
Yep.
And, you know, he's clungies, you know, the doing lines with old mate at the fucking bowler or whatever it was, and, you know, and a number of other things that I'm probably forgetting. He seems to me an absolute no-brainer to cut loose.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm guessing it's just something as simple as saying that they feel like they had the three strikes on Vaughan, which was why they could terminate him, and maybe they don't have three strikes on Corey in his time at the Dragons.
But what's this three strikes things though?
Like, I don't know.
I've never gone into a job and they talk to me about their fucking baseball policy when it comes to fuck ups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can be performance managed out of a company.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know why it takes three strikes. Anyway, the Dragons know what they're doing. Reputable organization with...
Obviously. I mean, well, let's face it.
With a year of on-field success under their belt.
Yeah, the other thing is, I mean, Corey's going anyway, so there's no salary cap money that they need to save in that case.
Yeah, that's true.
Vaughan was signed for another year on good cash, as far as my understanding. Like, I think he was, like, on reasonable cash, like around 800-ish.
Yep.
And so they save 800 by jettisoning him, And words come out today that it looks like they're in position to sign Jaden Sewer to a 3-year deal. So I guess that first year's on the house now.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that's because they're paying that with found money, and they probably aren't putting him on $800,000 either. So that to me seems it was more like a for business expediency.
Yep.
That they get rid of Vaughn rather than, you know. And there's another one I only just saw it here for the first time, but Ben says, this is the first episode in which I couldn't disagree more with Jay's opinion on the Dragons situation in the Roosters game. The Dragons situation doesn't smell like mental health. It's completely just imbeciles not actually having the brains to conduct themselves within the guidelines and regulations. To say they have mental health issues, I feel, diminishes the mental health space. The Roosters lost. That side should not have conceded the points it did. I think their backline still rep quality and forwards are the same, and they couldn't even go with Melbourne. They should have been talked about more than what happened with the Dogs game. That Roosters loss, in my opinion, was the worst of the round, if not in a very long time.
Mm.
Yeah, so
I get what you're saying, and I'll raise a point that Nate made around that. When we say mental health, remember that mental health is a spectrum. And so I'm not at all trying to say that they're not responsible for their actions because of their mental health. In fact, it probably makes them more responsible for their actions, in that, or for them needing to be more responsible for their actions. When I'm talking about part of struggles with mental health being people that have issues with impulse control, that's not something like, you know, in the campaign the NRL are running at the moment about people being in dark places.
Yeah. It's not a brain chemistry issue.
Can be.
It can be, but when you were talking about in terms, you know, in conjunction with, you know, like brain, you know, brain damage.
Not through CTE or anything, or TBIs or anything like that. Of course, that can do it, obviously. But I'm talking about the sort of person that grows up, be it nature or nurture, but would have issues with basic impulse control in their day-to-day life.
Mm.
You know, it's things like poor money management. It's things like quick to anger.
Yeah.
It's things like, you know, not saying no to social taboos.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like risky sexual activity. Sound like anyone?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I can see... I feel like there's a lot of us that are being attacked right now.
not at all saying that this is not like Darius Boyd pulling the depressed lamatic immunity card.
Yeah.
Saying I'm a cunt because mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is just saying that I would suggest that for a lot of them, that's the underlying reason, and it actually makes it worse that they don't recognize that after 20 plus years on the fucking planet do something to help themselves.
Yes. And speaking of poor impulse control, the Tigers winger, David Nofaluma, who's a favorite on this show, a favorite of Glennie's. And so, you know, just in his absence, I thought I'd bring him up just so it feels like Glennie's home. But, he tweeted out the other day, or someone, and like, let's face it, this is a stupid, internet cunt that sent an abusive tweet, tagging him in said abusive tweet, saying that, you know, but among other things, that Noffa had failed to make a correct read in defence since his debut in 2012. And
is that abuse or is that satire?
Well, that line that, you know, but he was. Yeah, the general tone of the tweet was just one of those ones where you're just abusing a sports person. You know, you're abusing a famous sports person. Noffa, you know, escalated things by actually replying to the tweet or quote tweeting it and saying that he, you know, it's sad that I get blamed for defensive decisions. In the first half, our A and B defenders didn't get up and put pressure, and then Moses Mbai was getting caught, so left 3-on-2 for myself and James Roberts to deal with. And then he said, in the second half, we got up in one line of defense. And if you watch the second half, you know, defended very well. So he ultimately deleted this tweet. However, yeah, unsurprisingly, because, I mean, there's pretty much no team endeavor, be it workplace, sporting side, or otherwise, where someone throwing several other people under the bus in defense of themselves is not extremely fucking poor form and breaking several codes.
And, yeah. So Carmichael Nofaluma.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell.
Problem is when he's not snitching out his guys for fucking, you know, for yeah, different white lines. But
yeah, that's it. Yeah, look, rough one. Here's the thing. If somebody ats an athlete,
yep.
I feel that athlete has every right to go back at that person in the same spirit that they were gone at.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
If I at an athlete,
yep.
And then they go back and search through my pictures and find an embarrassing thing to make fun of me for.
Fair play.
That's it.
Yep.
You know, live by the tweet, die by the tweet.
Yep, that's it.
You know, fuck, on this show, the things we've said about people's grandmothers, you know, live by the tweet, die by the tweet. And... yeah, the issue I have, though, is, as you said, he's in there naming, saying, oh, it wasn't me, it was such and such.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
And, like, specifically naming Moses Mbai as a reason why, you know, he and James Roberts can't defend.
Like, I tell you what, at least those two guys have earned an Origin jersey.
I don't think he was throwing Roberts under the bus. I think he was lumping Roberts in with him, saying, you know, he was left high and dry by Moses.
Oh, no, I know, but in that group of three.
Yeah, well, yeah, in that group of three,
things just doesn't belong here.
Yeah. So then you saw a story, you see the story come out today where when Nofa had his 150th milestone game just a couple of weeks ago, whenever they played the Warriors.
Yep.
He was out the night before and drinking with Madge and some other Tigers staff, coaching staff and whatever, and, you know, sponsors and benefactors at a wedding. Was hungover, showed up to training hungover, and would have been dropped. But it was his 150th game that weekend, and the club had organised activities, you know, like celebrations and, you know, whatever, you know, game day shit. And so for that reason, he wasn't dropped. And he was removed from the leadership group.
So, where do you go on this? And this is where they just cement themselves as a fucking meme club. So what are our options here?
Have some fucking standards. That's the first thing. I mean, like, why do the players play like there are no repercussions or standards to be upheld in the club? I'll tell you why. Because standards were fucking dictated, and these standards, I imagine, would be common to every single fucking sporting club in the world that is of a professional nature. He breaks those standards, has no repercussions because reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, what they should have done. Well, let's face it, there's lots of ways they could have done it, but I mean, the repercussions, he certainly should have been dropped, and that's just a matter of how they PR manage that dropping.
Yeah.
Do they come straight out and say drop for behavioural reasons and burn the milestone stuff?
Yep. Or fucking stage manager next time.
Yeah. Or do you drop him and give him a cover story for not, you know?
Well, I'll cast your mind back to a time when Michael Jennings was still at Penrith, you know, pre Roosters.
Is that the Boomgate thing, or was that
Parra? So there was an instance where he turned up to training after a big night.
Yeah,
and it was at that stage where he was at the peak of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was just almost unstoppable. It was for a lot of the time. Give the ball to Jenko and just watch him beat three guys and streak away. You know, was the most exciting outside back in the competition. And his punishment from Gus was that he was suspended. He was fined.
By the club. Where he had to go and...
And they used the money they fined him to purchase tickets for the next two home games. And they forced him to walk around the grandstand handing out to, and they publicised why he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
they forced him to go to walk around and hand out tickets to kids to say, I'm sorry you didn't get to see me play today. Please come back and see me next time.
Yep.
I'm sorry you didn't get to see me play today. You know, and you know what the result of that was?
Not long after. Ultimately abusing steroids.
Well, I was going to say not long after he left the club and went and won a premiership. But,
yeah, he went and won a premiership and then later was suspended out of the game for abusing steroids.
Yeah. However,
it's not really a happy ending.
No, it's not. But I will respect the club's stance on that.
Yeah, 10 times was out great. Of 10. Yeah.
10 that, times that, out of 10.
That's probably the best one example ever.
Mm. But then dig a little deeper on that Tigers issue. So we have a situation where there is a wedding
mm-hmm.
that staff are at, the coaching staff are at, and the players are at.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like that, when I read the story, it wasn't clear if it was like all the players. I mean, they made it seem like almost that he was one of the – it was you know who was there? Your mate, fucking Pasco. He was there, though.
Well, of course he was. Fucking loves a free dinner, the scabby cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there's a wedding,
so it was the wedding of the Tigers chairman's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that also at the wedding was Madge, Pasco, and their head of football, Adam Hartigan.
Yep.
Doesn't mention any other players, but. Yeah, that's omission. It doesn't say they were there. It doesn't say they weren't there.
But then again, so here's this thing.
Okay, no, he has a close relationship with the daughter after he stood by her side during a leukemia battle in 2014. So he may have only been one of the...
Has anyone checked whether he gave it to her?
Well, I mean, I just think it's more likely that he didn't stop it getting to her rather than actually overtly giving it to her. He just didn't prevent her getting it.
I'm just saying, but just by him being in such proximity as standing next to her, her immune system wouldn't have known which direction to go in.
Yeah, but I mean, standing next to her, it's such a vague term. I mean, because like he wears the number on his back that says he's a winger, but is he really, is he on the wing much? That's it. Really?
No.
You know?
No.
It's just all too fucking ethereal and hard to... Who knows?
But, okay, so here we are. We've got senior members of the club here. So it's the chairman's daughter's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And there's a training session the next day.
Yes.
For start, when is it? Is your wedding on a fucking Sunday night? Who has a wedding on a Sunday night, you cheap cunt?
No, it could have been one of those people get the Friday afternoon weddings as well the same reason.
But then are they training on a Saturday?
Maybe it's like, let's tell you what. This is what I'm going to do. While you just shit on the Tigers for a bit, maybe add some Pasco spice. And while you do that, I'm going to go into the drawer and figure out exactly when this fucking was, and which week this game was, just so we can be clear about what we're talking
just
about.
Search for all the tweets making fun of. Oh no, that was Luke Brooks that couldn't run through the banner. Fuck me, that's a club that keeps on giving.
They really are. Okay, here we go. But, I lost to the Warriors. That was on the 21st of May. So it's the week after Magic Round. Okay, so I'm just going to go there. And, right.
Yeah.
So I was on the 21st of May. So that was whatever day that was. That was would have been one of the early Friday. That was a Friday game.
So it was a wedding on a Thursday.
Well, no, because they played on a Friday, so the wedding could have been on a Saturday, and they had a, you know, some sort of session on the Sunday or recovery or something. Anyway,
but if there's a situation where
it had to be before that.
You plan for this. So if you have one of your players coming to a wedding because he has a close personal relationship with your daughter, mm-hmm. then you need to make a call and you need to talk to the coaching staff and football department and say, look, Noffa's coming to the wedding. Can he please be excused from training the next day?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or Noffa talks to the coach who will also be at the wedding and say, mate, I'm here to celebrate a special day with a good friend of mine. May I please pass? Be excused for training the next day?
Mm-hmm.
Or Madge, worst case scenario, is at the wedding
mm-hmm.
with him and they fucking chink and share a drink and everything's rosy, just tap him and go, hey, Noffa, don't worry about training tomorrow. I'll sort it out.
Enjoy yourself. Happy, it's a celebration.
Happy to share this lovely social occasion with you. Oh, shit, here comes Pasco. Can you tell which one of us he's looking at? There are a multitude of different ways that can be avoided. And as much as I love to fucking have a rag on Noffa in satire, if you've been invited to a wedding and you go there, I don't think it's entirely proper that, especially if it's a wedding that is essentially a company event.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That they say to you, hey, we'd like you to come to this wedding. Do not go over the top and get yourself a hangover because you have to train the next day. Fair enough if he was playing the next day. Hey, please show up for the ceremony. Then fuck off and get your 8 hours and get ready for the game.
Yeah.
But there were so many fucking potential check gates here to stop this happening.
Yeah.
But then even though they fucked up all of those, they fucked up on the actual... on following through with any real or meaningful action on that anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Dump from the leadership group and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, worst case scenario, he shows up hungover, no penalty because he was at the wedding with the fucking CEO and the chairman and the coach.
It's my understanding that he couldn't complete the session.
Mm.
So it wasn't just that he was there and they're like, oh, yeah, Noffa looks a bit hungover. Yeah, he obviously was. Yeah, look, and you got to remember as well. Even though Madge was at the wedding, Madge is Madge too, though. And we know that, you know, and we know that how he trains players, and he fucking burns them out.
Yeah.
So it's probably a hard session, and Noff is puking.
Mm.
But you know,
yeah,
it just I think it speaks more to the lack of standards or the lack of accountability around failing to meet those standards at the Tigers, and it's what we've seen in terms of like players being dropped. Like Madge sort of tried that a little bit, but then the results have been that, you know, like for example, like guys like BJ and James Roberts have both had, you know, times being dropped.
Yep.
But they come back and then things don't change, and it's really they only get suspended or injure themselves out of selection.
Now this is the thing, and the Tigers are the fucking poster boy for this. The issues with rugby league at the moment, I firmly believe, are due to a talent drought in terms of players understand that there is such a finite pool of resources to draw from that they can go close to getting away with almost anything. They also understand that because of the work of the fucking RLPA, that it is almost impossible for them to have any sort of reduction, no matter what they dish out on the field. Like, how is
in cash.
Yeah, that's it, in money. How does it not ring any fucking alarm bells on how common it is that players have amazing years in contract years and then drop down to about 70% of that output or quality of play? The greatest thing for the game that they could do is what we were talking about and suggested a while ago. Have a minimum payment.
Yep.
And then that's what's guaranteed. Everything else, as long as you perform, you get whatever's in your contract.
Yeah, like per first grade game, for example. That's it. And, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, whatever it is. And then if the club, for any reason, is not happy with your performance, then they can drop you, and all they're responsible for is that minimum wage. We're not saying that they don't pay you. And that minimum wage that we're talking about is an amazingly livable wage that almost anyone in Australia would be happy to be on.
Yeah.
For just playing football.
Yeah.
You know? And then they put some accountability back on the players.
Yep.
But they're not, so fuck the Tigers.
Yep. And just finally, quickly, Origin 3, the venue's locked in very late in the day, really, but... As expected, as the word, you know, got louder and louder, Newcastle, McDonald Jones Stadium, will be hosting the Origin. With the COVID restrictions, they will be permitted to have a 75% capacity crowd, which will result in about 20,000 fans through the gates. Mm-hmm. And this game was originally to be in Sydney, but with the lockdown still going and likely to be extended for another week, or I think it has been extended for another week, hasn't it? At least a week. And so that's ruled out the Stadium Australia, unless they were going to try and, you know, do it with zero fans, and I don't think they were ever prepared to do that.
Nah, not for an Origin.
And so now it's in Newcastle. So the Blues, they'll stay in their traditional base up there at Kingscliff, or down there for us, then down to Newcastle. So yeah, look, great for the region. As the game won up in Townsville was great for the region.
Yep.
Good fucking luck getting a ticket with only 20,000 available.
Yeah.
Even though it's a dead rubber. Let's face it, Newcastle fans, they bought tickets when they were running stone motherless last with no fucking prospects of getting off the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah.
So and they will do the same for the opportunity and the novelty of having an Origin game, you know, in their backyard.
Yeah, spot on.
But yeah, so more on Origin probably on Sunday's episode as we get closer to the actual game itself.
Yep.
And we get a better look at how things are going to shake out there. But yeah. And if you're a Newcastle-based listener or a New South Wales-based listener, because I guess, you know, you're the only guys who really got a chance of getting in there, let us know if you're going. And because they're going to be a fucking killer, and it'll be a killer atmosphere there. Even at 75% capacity, it'll be fucking awesome. And hopefully you get to see a hand grenade. I'm fucking never going to stop on this hand grenade shit. Never. Can't stop, won't stop. I'll be fucking saying hand grenade till the fucking day I die. And the cunts still won't do it. Previews for this week, shortened round due to the Origin game, aforementioned Origin game. We've got a Thursday game, though, and it is the mighty Manly Sea Eagles taking on the Canberra Raiders at Brookvale, a.k.a. Four Pines Park. The Manly Sea Eagles side, obviously a bit of change changing around there, given Tommy and Daly will be playing for their state of origin, respective states. So Garrett goes back to fullback as he was last time. What else have they done here? Sully comes in the five, but I can't imagine he's going to play on the wing. I mean, he just doesn't have the speed. So I'd say that perhaps he'll end up in the centres and Brad Parker will shift out to a wing. At this stage, they've got Kieran Foran and Dylan Walker in the halves. I can't imagine it's going to stay that way, though, as we work towards the squad reductions. I know they have dropped off 20 and 21 at this stage. So that's George and the guy who I hope debuts this year, Cooler. Otherwise, you know, as per the pack, as per the way they are. The Raiders side. Okay, so Xavier Savage is playing his second NRL game in place of Bailey Simonson, who's injured, who's obviously replacing Nickel Klukstar, who's also injured. Where else do we have here? Matt Frawley comes into the halves. So he's replacing Whiten, who's out for Origin. Gula comes in to replace Papali'i, who's playing for Queensland. Ryan James comes onto the bench, and Elliot Whitehead is out with a shoulder injury. And the older Gouger himself, Hudson Young, comes into the side. Look, the Raiders were extremely embarrassed last week. Probably the worst they've played in fucking years, because while they've had some what you would describe as heartbreaking losses and poor losses, the game last week literally had no fucking candles to be lit anywhere.
True.
Like they've had, you know, it's like it's a meme that the games where they, and this year it's happened half a dozen times where they've built up a good win 30 minutes into the game and surrendered it by half time, or certainly, you know, shortly into the second half and gone on to lose sometimes heavily in by the end of the game. But this was the first game I've seen in a little while for the Raiders, I think, where they just didn't have any fucking, there was no silver linings, there's nothing you could add to it. Manly obviously are gonna miss Daly, and they'll miss Tommy, of course. But then, you know, fucking last time Tommy was rested for the purpose of Origin, I mean, they put 50 on the Cowboys, And that's and that was the game where Garrick emerged and became the player that he's been, you know, for the subsequent month, where he's just been fucking killing it.
I was just about to say, that's, you know, well, okay, that's not great because it was the Cowboys. But just thinking about it, in terms of
Canberra, kind of, yeah.
That's it. In terms of quality of play, that's about the level where Canberra are this season.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see any way that Canberra get out of, because at the moment they're scared. They're scared of playing football because they don't know how to get themselves out of trouble.
Yeah, and they've got this, they're not unified.
It's
playing group. It's a kind of, there's a weird vibe in there. I wonder if the embarrassment from last week is something that brings them together.
Yeah, maybe.
And like gives them like a sort of an additional determination. But they don't have like Whiten, and they don't have, you know, I mean, we're missing good guys or great guys. They're missing, you know, good to very good guys on their team
that,
you know, are very important for them as well. Manly's pack undisturbed, and they've been trampling motherfuckers the last couple of weeks. So I don't see them letting off at all, really. And for me, it's really just the halves. I mean, I've got utmost confidence in Kieran Foran in, you know, in a game management kind of role. And his kicking game is not as good as Daly's, but I mean, it's okay. Dylan Walker is going to have to be the more roaming sort of guy, but I don't think he's going to start at 7. I think by the time we get closer to the game, I reckon I'll probably put him in the 14 and then start with Cade Cust in the halves. And at which point my only concern for him really is just match fitness, because he's been out injured for a couple of weeks, so he just doesn't have a hell of a lot of game time. However, you know, I think Garrick is going to do his part. He's increasingly excellent, you know, Tommy Turbo impersonation from the back, and then you've still got guys like Harper and Saab and the forwards who've just been fucking killing it for like, you know, six to eight weeks now. And
I don't see how without Whiten and without Papali'i driving them, I don't see where the Raiders' points are coming from. So I'm tipping Manly.
Yep. Won't be 50 burger this week, I don't think. But fucking stranger things have happened. And, you know, how committed are they to getting rid of Sticky? That's what it comes down to. Friday, the solo game we've got there. It's the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the North Queensland Cowboys in Newcastle. And the Rabbitohs side, so Latrell Mitchell, he's out for Origin. Dane Gagai, he's out for Origin, replaced by Braden Burns. Selle replaces Cameron Murray, who's out for New South Wales. Burgess starts at prop. Jaden Sewer comes into the starting side in the second row. Jai Arrow, he's gone because he's playing Origin as well. The hooker replacing Damian Cook, Benji Marshall. And Margo and Mamuzelos join the interchange. The North Queensland Cowboys side. Okay, so Dejan Arce replaces Valentine Holmes, who'll be at Queensland. The debutant, the Hammer, Tabuai Fidoh, he's playing for Queensland this time too. So Lemulu has to come in there. Cohen Hess starts in prop, with Burr being benched, and Gilbert replaces murderous Frank, who I don't think is in the 17 for Queensland this time. But still in camp with them. Yeah, I think he's 18th or 19th, which is strange because, I get that they're bringing guys in and they have to make spaces because they're promoting Ben Hunt to hooker, and they've got guys like Ponga coming back in, and then they might want to put like, you know, Brimson on the bench. I get that there's, you know, finite spaces in the side, but I thought that he was one of their better performers. When he came on
and especially in that area that they really can't afford to be taking any talent out of that grit and meterage game. But
anyway. Like, they didn't have any last time. I mean, they need something.
Paul Green's a professional coach,
apparently. So look, you just got at the end of the day, we've still got the Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds steering ship around.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, to say that I've got reservations about Benji Marshall at hooker, both defensively and in service, is an understatement.
Do you have reservations about him there more than when he plays in the halves? I sort of feel that he can be hidden a little bit more. Like, there's going to be some extra work for the forwards around him.
I just don't know that I just think that he is going to provide, I mean, because Benji Marshall has never been considered a fucking lockdown defender.
No.
At any stage of his career. No, and putting him into perhaps the most defensively arduous position on the field. Certainly as far as sustained 80 minutes of defense. You're right. I mean, he's going to there are going to have to be people sort of bodyguarding him a little bit, which means that there's, does that open up options, on the edges?
Look, all I need is
guys have to come in the middle.
I just need him to not fuck up too badly, and then we can honestly say that Benji Marshall's a better hooker than Robbie Farah ever was.
Look, the Rabbits have got enough guys there, enough finishers in the back line, and they've got their a stable halves combination there to, if nothing else, kick them out of trouble. And the North Queensland Cowboys, I mean, Valentine Holmes has been like their best player.
Yeah.
He's been a catalyst for a lot of their, the good things that they've done.
Also, look at motivation. You've got one guy there who was passed over for Mitch Moses. Mm-hmm. For the Origin side,
yep.
And one guy who was, probably will not play again.
Yeah.
In Walker, there's some motivation there for them to perform this week.
Yeah.
So Souths are way too strong.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to Saturday. The Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs take on the Sydney Roosters. Okay, so changes from last round for the Doggies. Waddell, Katoa, Shoup, Napa all return. They were the COVID breaches. Brandon Wakeham's left out, but it's funny. Like in Trent's press conference last week after the game, he was clearly seething about these players.
Yes.
And when asked if he would bring them straight back in, he was kind of like, look, I don't know, like he wasn't like over my dead body, but it was kind of like, obviously he knew, like we all knew, is that he really doesn't have the fucking choice but to let them straight back in.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't drop them on principle because principle last week. Well, yeah, if he dropped them on principle this week, you get a repeat of last week. And we saw what happened last week. And this is a guy that's desperate to retain his job too, whose job is in danger.
When you're at that point though, would you not like at least, because at the moment he's got nothing.
Mm.
Would you not at least try to have the moral high ground? Would you not I'm going to run out the same team as last week and they're men against boys and they're all learning and they're yada, yada, yada. However, that's how strongly I feel about the respect you need to have for our jersey.
See, that would be great, but I mean, he's not a good coach and he didn't say that.
True.
I mean, that is like, in some respects, an example of what good coaching looks like. But unfortunately, the way that Trent has gone is, fuck me, I cannot have another fucking 60 burger.
Yeah.
My job is got to be on the line. And with the great fucking Bob Fulton passing away a month ago, if this one goes down, I'm never getting another one.
Yeah, true.
Because my number one fucking protector is gone. And I'll be fucking joining him. if I get another one of these 60 burgers thrown on me, my career will be fucking sitting next to Bozo. So I just feel like he's between a rock and a hard place. Can't afford to concede another 60, so he has to bring these players in. But then what that does for any, respect, hardline discipline, standards,
consequences, et cetera. Same as we're talking about with the Tigers.
Yeah. So what else we got here? Who else has gone to this fucking side for these Dogs? Does it even matter? Sione Katoa is there.
It doesn't fucking matter this week because the Roosters have had a week after an embarrassment as well.
Yeah, absolute like total and pain for the Roosters. The worst in probably close to a decade. And you look at their lineup on paper again, and you're like, well, it's not bad.
No, it's not.
Considering the fucking injuries that they've suffered, it's not bad.
The worst thing you can say about the Roosters' age is it's the wrong mix of age and youth.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of really, really young guys in some pretty key positions.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys shepherding them through are well over the event horizon.
Yeah. Oh, and have died before their time as well. There's the amount just imagine having a settling forces like BMOS and
Yeah.
And like Cordell on the exactly. field, you know, exactly. and Jake Friend. I mean, those three alone, they're just the wealth of experience, premiership winning, you know, experience. It's just so valuable. But, and then, yeah.
But still, looking at them, there are going to be a couple of areas that they have just been drilled in this week. And yeah. I assume one of them is defense.
Yeah. And I probably just really stripping things down just to some basic yeah. fallback positions.
I really think this week we're going to see an outstanding defensive position from performance from the Roosters. And that's against a side whose problem all year has been scoring points.
Exactly. So couldn't have come at a better time for the Roosters. Yeah. What better time to want to look like you can defend?
Yeah.
Than when you're playing the Doggies.
Yeah, exactly. So
and this game Roosters. Is like, you know, this game, I mean, when it comes to the Doggies, this on paper for them would appear to be one of the most winnable games they're going to get in the run home.
Yeah.
But do you think they're going to get within fucking 20?
No.
Nope. Sunday, Sharkies take on the Warriors at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. The Sharkies side, Tracy replaces the injured young Mac Moylan, who I believe was a calf injury he suffered in the warm-up of last week's game.
He only hurts young parts of his body.
Yeah. Chambers returns to plug the gap left in the centres there. Trindle drops to the bench. Hirodi drops the reserves. Warriors side. Okay, so Reece Walsh returns at fullback. Cody Nikorima returns to 5'8". Matt Lodge comes straight into the starting front row. Evans drops to the bench. Tuivasa Sheck again to the wing to accommodate the Reece Walsh at fullback. And Rocco Berry returns. Cozzy Pompey drops to reserves. Tohu Harris and Chad Townsend are out. Bailey Sirenan starting back row. Ben Murdoch and Masilla to the bench.
We didn't get to see the Chad revenge game.
We didn't. Oh. Convenient. Will we Very get to convenient. See
Matt Lodge beat them twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Fuck. So, look, I mean, the Sharks, you want to talk about the Roosters being embarrassed last week.
Yeah,
wow. Sharks lost to the Brisbane fucking Broncos. Is it more shameful to lose by 40-plus to the Storm? Plenty of teams have done it this year.
Yeah.
Or is it more shameful to lose to the Broncos? Not many have done that.
That's it.
Man.
You know, when the French surrendered very quickly, they were looking around going, well, pretty good blitzkrieg. You know?
Yeah.
There's no shame in losing to that.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, the French are, you know, it's often like, you know, framed as the French being cowards, but it wasn't the case. I mean, the French were fighting World War One tactics against the fucking innovative World War Two army. They didn't realize that the fucking way war was fought had changed. And you know,
the French general, Boyd Le Cordner, and recently been shell shocked. So.
But, you know, the Sharks, though, man, I just don't know. I can't trust the Warriors to do anything ever.
After the last 10 minutes of that game last week.
After the last anything of anything this year. You know, they're just untrustworthy. Sometimes they'll pull out a performance and you'll be like, oh, my fucking God, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
But the times you think they're going to do something are the times they almost certainly will not.
In what's turned out to be a very coach-heavy episode, this, I think, will be far more a reflection of Brownie's coaching in what he's done with them this week in terms of how they perform.
Yeah. Because they were fucking... They were good until, like, the last 8 minutes or something, whatever.
They were good until Chad lost his fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Fuck me. What do you do? I don't know.
I'm going the Sharks. I mean, the Sharks have been much better lately. And surely losing to the Broncos, I mean, if anything's going to jolt a side out of the malaise, because I cannot for 1 minute believe that the late withdrawal of Matt Moylan was the reason.
No, not at all.
You know, they had plenty of opportunities, plenty of like breaks where they could have scored.
How motivated is SJ to beat up on his club, on his new club?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, tip of the Sharks. Fuck, yep, with no confidence.
Okay, mailbag time. And actually, before we get into the mailbag, just want to say thank you to the people. And one of them off the top of my head was one of our patrons, Conan. And let me tell you, answering the question, what is best in life? What is best in life is when people like Conan send me an email and let us know that that new NRL State of Mind campaign is live and in the wild. And he sent an email to us and said that it came on during a Formula One podcast.
There you go.
And so, I mean, this campaign for the NRL, it's kind of a strange one. You know, you've probably heard a short ad about it at the start of this episode, I'd imagine. You'll probably hear one at the end of the very end of the episode as well. But then we had to record a third advertisement for the NRL, this mental health initiative, and it's appearing not on this show. And it's appearing on other sports shows within the stable of our host network. So you're probably going to, if you listen to any other shows that are hosted on Acast, you're probably going to hear, there's a 30% chance of hearing us on that show.
Yes.
For the next sort of month or so. But we're very happy to be doing this with the NRL. And we most definitely are strong believers in the mental health message and the message about, you know, starting a conversation with your friends and being there to start a conversation.
But also the whole idea is to have the skills to do it.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons we like the campaign, was because it's not just saying it's like, and here's the thing, you know, the whole like, are you okay move is fantastic. And I take nothing away from that. But you know what's hard? The next step. When you go, mate, are you all right? And someone goes,
well actually, no.
Well, yeah, to be honest, not really.
Yeah.
Fuck, what do you do? Oh, okay, chin up. There. This campaign looks to upskill people in how to have those conversations, which I think is really important.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, and if you hear us on a particularly weird show... by all means, let us know. I think so far I had a boy Chappie as well. I think he sent me a message the other day. He was one of the first ones. I think it was like literally, I'd only just been told that it had kind of been approved by the NRL and everything like that. And he's hit me almost like on Monday afternoon. And he said, and it was on something called the Football Ramble, which is an English, like a Premier League or, you know, like an English soccer podcast. So,
fuck me, how boring would that be?
Well, I mean, I would. Yeah, that's one thing you could say. The other thing you could say is, welcome, listeners of the Football Ramble, who found out about our show from the the NRL thing.
Fucking how lucky are you cunts to have moved on to something where people are talking about a sport, an actual sport that is entertaining enough in its own right to keep you engaged for 80 minutes, not one that the audience has to make up fucking nursery rhymes with new words to keep themselves from falling asleep.
Or bash people. Like, I mean, you know, that's the other option. You know, bash people on the way from the pub to the ground.
Yeah.
Now, onto the actual mailbag stuff. Ben said, am I still erect from the last round? Look, I mean, it's all a bit Groundhog Day-ish, isn't it? I enjoyed it for what it was, but you know, it's been a big fucking week. So
yes.
I think back on it, you know, fondly. But you know, on to the next. It's all business now, under the radar. Ryan says, how much of a grace period should new coaches receive in their roles? I find it kind of frustrating that new coaches are instantly given full responsibility for poor performances by both the media and fans, when really they've inherited a ton of shit like old players, back-ended contracts, incompetent management, etc., which they need to muddle through to turn around the club. Clubs should be treated like the Titanic in that they can't exactly go 180 in an incident.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, I think most coaches kind of get that to a certain degree.
Mm.
People aren't talking about a coach getting sacked halfway through their first season if they're a rabble.
Yeah.
Unless they've like been promoted from within, or you know what I mean? Like they're not, I mean, let's face it, Trent would be, Like, if we're on merit, Trent's fucking sacked right now.
But this is, look at that Bulldogs job.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in the picture for it?
Was there anybody else? I've no idea. It seemed, in the picture was Dean Pay, right, as the incumbent, and then it was because they signed Trent that he became unemployed, right?
Yeah. But again, who else was in the line for that job other than Trent?
Yeah, I just think it was Trent was in line for a job.
Yeah.
And the Dogs, because of the way that the media treats him, the Dogs were conned.
Yes. But more experienced coaches were not lining up for that job.
No.
Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, the issue with going into any role is you as the coach need to go in with your eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
That board or that football department or whoever they are don't really want to give you much of a grace period. So the reason they don't get that grace period is because the board sits there and goes, we've made sound recruitment decisions.
Mm.
You know, a very wise mentor of mine once said to me that if you give people the opportunity to look like fuckwits, they will very rarely take it.
Mm-hmm.
So no one, what this essentially means is no one's going to sit down and say, you know what, we have fucked this. We have well and truly fucked this. Players are overpaid. We've got the wrong people in the wrong positions. Our fucking strength and conditioning guy has no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We are at fault here. We have fucked up big time.
Yeah.
Which is why it comes down to the coaches. Yeah. Again, how much better would it be for the coaching stock in the country if they could walk into a club and essentially say, hey, I'm here. I've got an idea of what I want to do with the club and I'm going to tell you what it is. And anyone that doesn't get in line with that, you're welcome to look elsewhere. We will be fucking dropping you down to this minimum wage deal and putting you on the available list for other clubs to look at. And then we'll buy in new talent.
Yeah, yeah.
How easy does that make being the coach of a new club?
Yeah.
Or the new coach of a club.
Because what happens is, you do get on it. You do get on this merry-go-round, and it's one that the Dogs find themselves on at the moment, where they sack coaches so frequently that they never have, the mythical, their players or their squad.
Yeah.
Or they're constantly, coaching the last guy's squad. Yeah. And, when you have a turnover at places like the Tigers or another one as well, when you have like coach turnover like that, it's never going to be their fucking squad because player contracts last twice as long as the fucking coach is there.
Exactly.
And there can't be the clean out for it. But and Trent's in this situation exactly now. Like, next year you've got Fox and Burton and fucking, presumably
Naden.
Tavita Pangai. you've got these guys coming into the side.
Mm.
And so no matter what happens this year, Trent always has the, oh yeah, but I've recruited well for next year and they're my guys, So, anyway, where are we? Shane says, with the Chooks having over 1 million in the official cap after Friend and Cordner retiring, who do you think they go after on the market? My prediction is Payne Haas is who they're going to go for.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
Word on the street is that he is not happy at the Broncos and he's a great player. Why would he be fucking happy at the Broncos? I think that if Kevy's cleaning house, he's maybe cleaning house like you just described, and I think he may elect to sort of say, like, anyone who's not on board, there's the door.
Yeah.
And with the salary cap from a Boyd Cordner, the Roosters could very easily afford Payne Haas.
Yep.
And he's a fucking great addition for any side.
Yeah, he would be.
I'd fucking love him. I'd love to have him at my side.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one prediction for who the Chooks would go for.
Yeah.
Let me see. Going down. Michael says, who has been the best buy of the season so far?
Oh, God.
Panthers haven't bought anyone, so I guess it's not really anyone that comes to top of mind on that side, on the Panthers side of things. I mean, I have opinions. I've got, I mean, the first thing your mind always goes to your side.
Yep.
And like, I mean, when you talk about the way that things have turned out this year, Jason Saab has been a fucking.
Did you buy him this year or last year?
He was the Dragons last year, so this is his first year for us. Yeah, and he's a good fucking buy. If he hadn't have been injured and had played all of the games, I also sort of said that Josh Aloye as well. I mean, because he was our best forward when he got injured. So, that time. And since then, we've had, there's been the advent of, your Sipleys and Pasekas, and Marty's become really good as well.
So who else was on the list?
Who else is on the list of great buys this year? I'm thinking
is a buy a seasoned player from another club?
Let's make it real easy. A player that you brought into a player that's been brought into a side this year.
Harry Grant.
Yeah. Well, I mean they kind of already owned him though, right?
Yeah, but he's come from another side.
Yeah, but they knew what he
just get to remind Tigers fans.
Yeah, but
good they had it last year. Yeah, and fucking squandered it.
They already owned him, and they already knew what they had too. I mean, just had Captain Cuntox in front of him. That's all. So look, I'm going to say that for once the Roosters are actually they're non-starters in this. I mean, like Sam Walker's good and all, but
yeah, but he's not elevating them to new things.
No, the Doggies. I mean, I'm not going to give them anything.
Dearden, just for the lols.
Yeah, I mean, like the Titans have had a number of good buys, but I feel like they're probably underperformed to what you would
expect.
Yeah, you guys like Tino and your Dave Feedenstone. Dragons, nothing. I'm not going to give them anything.
Like even Jack Bird hasn't been sensational.
The buy of the year was Josh Maguire going to the Dragons. It was the buy of the year for the Cowboys.
The buy of the year was Jared Hayne leaving general fucking population.
Yeah, now, so I guess discuss, people. There we go. We've opened the floor. Send us your buys of the year thus
and
far.
And why? Give us a why.
It has to be why. You can't just throw names. Don't just throw a name at me. And like, if you're going to throw a name from your own side, you need to provide some justification as to why you're led to believe that way.
Yes, you do.
Rather than blind loyalty. Matthew says, I've rather hastily done the math. And over the 8 in a row, Queensland had an overall points differential of plus 118, which is fucking crazy, right? No. Total. That's the number of points. Because you remember, some games are like 2-point games. They might have won the series 2-1, but, the dead rub or something, we would get a win and win by 12 in a game or something, but they'd win the other two by 2, et cetera. So the Blues this season need a 49-point win to beat in one series what it took Queensland 8.
Oh, an aggregate. Okay.
Aggregate. Yeah, this is a points differential over all that 8 in a row period. Do you think Turbo and Latrell can get us over the line, or will the influence of Gutho just being in the squad fuck it up? I'll tell you. Don't put this fucking evil on New South Wales.
Yeah.
We need, as devastating as it would be to me personally, if Tommy was to get an injury that would preclude him from playing in Manly games going forward for, a number of weeks, it would hurt me much more if Tommy was to be injured and Gutho came into the 17. Daniel says State of Origin in Newey. How good? Of course, you better be there, cunt. Tim says, is JDB even that good? Look, I hear you.
Yeah.
You know what? Not now.
Do you know when the last time I thought JDB was actually good was before he ever put on a Blues jersey?
Yeah.
And
we spoke about that, right? That Dragons dominating pack.
It's my lasting impression of him. That he was a world beater when he had something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
He had that thing where he wasn't a shoo-in for Origin. He obviously wanted to play, and his performance before that series was amazing. And then after, his club form fell off a cliff. It was like, oh, well, I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that. It was the same thing with contract years and stuff like that. That was his driver, and he didn't have anything in him to sustain that level. So, No, I think he's resting on a false laurel.
And he didn't have it, and he's found it, you know, difficult to prove anything since.
That's it. Nothing has been proven exactly. Involving Jack DeBellin.
Exactly. Shane, is the NRL the sporting world's GOAT when it comes to off-field bullshit? From COVID hide-and-seek to international drug smuggling, surely we have every other organisation covered. I know it feels like that sometimes, but I still think that every major American sport particularly is, I think they've got us covered. For example, just think about the NFL alone. I mean, the NFL, you have your situations where there's literally guys killing people. and you know, I guess that's kind of a byproduct of America as well, because, you know, like, just gun violence is an American thing that we don't really have here. But I mean, Americans also have the drug smuggling stuff.
Yes.
But they've got murders and they've got domestic violence like the NRL has, but also like domestic violence is like fucking ramped up to, like, you know, turned up to 11. I'm sure a quick Google would reveal that, like, you know, that there's, and I know that we'll have listeners that'll be able to tell us this as well. I mean, but I imagine that there's been crazy shit happening, you know, in baseball, yeah. And like basketball. I mean, I'm sure there's fucking a ton of that shit as well.
Yeah. But okay, let's look at this just to bring it in perspective. To compare that, what Nate said before is, I think, the most important point. In America, this is just from 2017,
mm-hmm.
There were 475 daily reported cases of gun-related death and injury.
Yeah.
475 per day.
Yeah.
You contrast that in Australia, where there was one guy who had a knife walking through the Queen Street Mall in Brisbane, and it shut the city down, and it was all that was on the news for a week. You know?
Yeah.
The stuff that makes the news here, the stuff that's crime here, we see far less serious things as, oh my God, than anyone in America does. So yeah, we've got fucking nothing.
And I've just done a quick search and I found something on Bleacher Report where it goes through the 25 most violent off-field incidents in sports history.
Oh God!
So I'm just going to skim through some highlights. We got Patrick Kane, also ice hockey player, beat up a cab driver for 20 cents. He's also an Olympic silver medalist. And they attacked the cab driver because he didn't have the proper 20 cents in change that he requested. Where are we here? I'm trying to see if there's something. Fuck me. Look at the NBA. I mean, you've got, like, you know, Dennis Rodman's just like, you know, the things that Dennis Rodman did off court would be major things here. You know what I mean? Just in the bad boy Rodman sort of era. I remember Eric Cantona in the soccer when he did like that flying karate kick into the crowd.
Yeah.
Hit a guy in the stand. there's all sorts of crazy shit out there. But I would think if I had to bet my life, I would say that the NFL is probably the worst.
Yeah. Good old CTE, huh? Oof.
Yeah, you want to talk about fucking impulse control.
Yeah.
Joshua says, about that thing with Matt Lodge with the Broncos and some of our fans going on about at least the Yanks are getting paid. Get stuffed. Anyone like Lodge, JDB, etc. should have any chance to play professional football, shot to pieces permanently. Make them find a job in construction or something. Be a pleb earning pleb money and learn just how much they've stuffed up their privileged lives with dumb shit violent behaviour. I have no issue with these people earning a living, just not in any sporting industry where they are by proxy role models for future generations. Any particular ex-players that the guys can think of that have been proper booted for NRL and football that hasn't had a team in another comp, I'm looking at you, Super League, that's taken them. Okay, so ex-players that we can think of that have been properly booted from the NRL and football that haven't had a team in another comp.
Nah, even Robert Louis.
Yeah, I mean, he's starred in Super League, you could say. But even guys like Sandow like Carney. I mean, Carney did, he got a run overseas. I mean, he fucked that up or got then homesick or whatever and came back. But he still was given a job over there.
Yeah.
He was still employed. So guys that have been just fucking one and done. It's a good question. And I know that there's people out there that will remember these things if they happen particularly to someone to play for their team.
Yeah, let us know.
Like Anthony, yeah. Like Anthony Watts came close, but he still played for the minor leagues up here where he bit that guy on the dick.
That's right.
Down the Goldie. So I don't know if that counts for what we're talking about now, but honestly, you get bashed by Robbie Farah in a game in the NRL.
Not too many upsides to your career, are they?
No, and then they talk about CTE. You get CTE from Robbie bashing you to the point where you're playing like, you know, second division Gold Coast local competition and you bite a guy on the dick. To what end?
Goddamn.
I don't know. And finally, Liam said, in these tough times, how good is it that Origin has been taken to Newcastle and Townsville in the 1 year? Very good.
It is.
My only regret is that they are games that I would love to be at. I would have loved to have been at that Townsville game, not just for the absolute fucking flogging, but just the lead up and the buzz around it. Because you could tell, I mean, the crowd was fucking insane in that game, despite the fact they were getting pumped. Mm. Thank you for your questions, everyone. And that is it, full time for episode 414. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in many, many ways. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll find there links to our shop, our Patreon, our social media communities and more. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you become a patron. patreon.com/TwillNation and drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Invite your friends into the Facebook group. It's fucking good times, as you know. And you're firing up a Billy. What are you doing over there? And speaking of Patreon, I'd love to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. This week, I feel like what was the woman on Romper Room? Looking through the magic mirror.
Before my time, man. I was squarely a Sesame Street and Play School kid.
Well, I mean, Sesame Street's before our times, but it's still, you know, preceded through our times, you know what I mean? But I can't remember the woman on Romper Room, but at the end of every episode, she'd sort of look through the magic mirror and she's like, you know, she's like, I see Glennie and Sarah and Sammy and like, and you're sitting there going,
that was Romper Stomper. That was, I see Glennie.
So Joe, thank you so much for your support, sir. Alex as well, and Ash, thank you, legends, for supporting us. Before I forget, I didn't write it down, so I almost forgot. The New South Wales 2021 State of Origin Victory T-shirt. We are going to be closing that one down for orders at midnight, so 11:59 p.m. on Sunday night, and they shall be going into production on Monday. So you have your, this is the last warning you're going to hear on a podcast about getting them. By the time you hear our next show, they're going to be finished. So if you want one of those shirts, make sure you get in there. Go to thisweekinleague.com, click on the link to go to the store, and it will be the most recent product, the first product you see on there most probably. And get in there or forever hold your peace. And that's it. That's all we've got time for this one. That is us for our Glennie free experience, and we hope the champion is back.
I wish him already.
I know, right? And you know, it's almost so well planned that these things happen at times. Like there's no Tigers game. I mean, there was no reason for him to be here to be kicked mercilessly.
I feel like on one side of my heart is David Nofaluma and the other James Roberts, and there's just a gaping hole in the middle.
Yes. Anyway, We miss the fella, and we hope he's back for the Sunday episode. And thank you, everyone else, for listening. And, you know, all jokes aside, if you heard the NRL State of Mind campaign ad that we did for the NRL on another podcast, and it's given you, let us know. And if it's given you the, you know, brought us to your attention, and you've, you know, listened this far through the episode,
if you've made it through this far,
welcome. You're in now, one of us, and we wholeheartedly welcome you, and
you're our kind of weird,
exactly. And hopefully, you know, we're talking to you on our next episode on Sunday, and as we'll be talking to all the other legends of Twill Nation. Talk to you then.
Later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.